Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron is treating you guys, the Real Ghost Stories Online listeners, to your first dinner of $30 value if you visit blueapron.com/ghost.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. And 855-853-4802 is our phone number. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can always email me your audio file if you want to record it that way. Send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for letting a friend know that we exist. Thank you for the positive reviews there on Apple Podcasts or whatever platform it is. If you've not left any of that yet, please do that here in the new year. That will certainly help us grow and continue to do this thing for you. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. You were having some difficulties with the Alexa earlier in the day. It was kind of entertaining.
She was ignoring me, but I think there was too much noise. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't picking me up. But it
picked me up.
It would blink, and then it was like, never mind. And then it
heard you.
It heard me, and then it just ignored me, literally. Just ignored me.
I was in the other room, and Jenny's like, it won't listen to me!
It's like the children.
It really, and I said, they've been hanging around the kids too long. Because mm-hmm. then I walked right in there and I said it, and then it did what I asked.
Yeah.
There's nothing quite as amusing as watching Jenny argue with a computer.
I hate that.
Like verbally spar with a computer.
Yeah, it's a problem.
We should just get cameras around the house, then I can just kind of go through the day and find these incidents and then just put them on YouTube.
No, I don't think so.
It would be entertaining. It really would be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Wait till, you think these things will ever, have opinions? Or will they always just do exactly what they say? Are they going to get smart enough where it is like the horror movies where they're, literally by choice going, nah, I don't feel like listening to you.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some kind of technology that'll be... able to at least randomize an opinion. So it sure seems like it's making up its mind, even if it's just a set of, pre-programmed answers or responses.
I just wonder if it'll ever get to the point where it's not just the randomness, if it actually is you've been kind of mean to me lately. I'm kind of, it actually has feelings,
Yeah.
And then it bases its choice of how it's going to play your Pandora station on those feelings. No, I don't think so. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Let's jump to our first call of the program. Hello.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Mark, and I am from Little Rock, Arkansas. I just wanted to call in and tell you just a little small paranormal experience that I had. I'm not one to ever, go out and look for anything supernatural or paranormal. But it has always intrigued me, and this is just a little something, my only real experience that may or may not be of any interest. And it's about my grandparents' house. We never had any bad experiences there. They built the house themselves, I want to say in the early 70s or so. A lot of good memories, nothing ever, traumatizing or particularly spooky. This was probably little over 10 years ago in the mid-2000s, kind of at the time when digital cameras were getting big and people were looking for orbs all the time and were saying, which family member could this be? And so I remember we were going through some pictures, and my aunt and my cousins had kind of made the remark, oh, this could be, and they said the name of our great-grandmother, who I never met. She passed away before I was born, and I don't know, I thought, well, could it be? I didn't really know much about orbs or anything of that sort at the time, so it kind of got me thinking. And then, probably not too terribly long after that, I was staying the night there with my cousin, who is just a couple years younger than me. I was probably about 12 at the time, and we were staying in the living room, staying the night in the living room. Just right outside their living room, they had a covered patio, or actually they had a deck that was converted into a sunroom, I should say, I'm sorry. And they had an old, I'd say maybe 20s or so, kind of Victorian style looking lamp out there. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and the lamp outside was actually on. And so I kind of peered into the sunroom because I could see it from where I was laying. And I thought that maybe my grandmother had gone out there, you know, to read or something. Maybe she couldn't sleep. And no one was out there, which was kind of strange to me. And the door was locked. And I couldn't make any sense of it because I knew that all the lights had been out in the sunroom and the living room and, you know, all the surrounding rooms before we had gone to bed. So not really wanting to do anything about it, I just kind of rolled over, faced the other way, and tried to go back to sleep. I don't think too terribly long amount of time had passed, maybe 15 or 20 minutes, and their grandfather clock, which was just a few feet from me, maybe 10 feet away, chimed 3 o'clock. And I happened to look up, and the lamp was off. You know, I kind of wondered, you know, when I first saw it, you know, am I dreaming? But I remember stopping and, you know, even pinching myself and just thinking, you know, is this going on? Like, but sure enough, I was awake. I do remember for sure. I tried to wake up my cousin just so he would see it, but I felt kind of dumb waking him up for a lamp, so I just decided to go back to sleep. When I woke up the next morning, the power had actually gone completely out, and I remember running into the room where my parents were staying, and I told my mom the story, but she kind of brushed it off and just you know, said it's probably faulty wiring or something, and it was an old lamp, so that was understandable. So I just kind of brushed it off, but it still kind of stuck out in the back of my mind. But nothing else had ever happened there before. I had never had any other, you know, never been spooked there before until then. So anyway, I thought about it a little bit, but just kind of told myself, it's probably nothing. You don't really need to worry about it. So I don't think it was even a year later. My parents and I were staying in the room that was my great-grandmother's, the one that I hadn't met before. She had lived in the house with my dad and his family before she passed away in a nursing home. So we were staying the night in there, and I slept on a pallet next to a lamp. This lamp was newer, though, so I don't really know that it would have faulty wiring, but I mean, it was still probably from the 70s when the house was built. But I happened to be by it, and we had just gone to sleep, and my parents had already fallen asleep, and I was laying in bed on this pallet, and all of a sudden the lamp came on, and that just kind of creeped me out because it was an entirely different lamp on the opposite side of the house. So I got up really quick, and I was, you know, just kind of freaking out a little bit, just like, you know, yelling at my parents, you gotta wake up, this lamp just came on, like, this is really weird. But they just, you know, again, kind of pushed it off, and they're just like, it's an old lamp, just go back to bed. And so I was sure to unplug it before I went back to sleep. And yeah, that's really all there is to the story. Nothing else ever really happened there. I never felt any presence or anything, but like, I don't feel that I'm super sensitive to any of that, and I try not to put too much thought or effort into it because I really don't try and, you know, seek out anything like that. But that's my only weird experience, and I'm sure it pales in comparison to a lot of the other stories that I've heard on here, but I just wanted to share it with you and see what you thought. Thanks again for listening to me and for the podcast. It really is fun. It's something interesting for me to listen to when I'm in the car, so I appreciate it. Thanks again. Bye.
It's almost kind of like a sporadic reverse slider effect in that the lamps are coming on instead of lights going out.
Mm-hmm.
But the way it seems like it's very infrequent, that it's just a couple of times, I don't think it's that. But I you know, you kind of got to wonder when it's an antique lamp. You got to wonder about the wiring, but sure, the power was out.
Yeah, that's what kind of breaks that.
Yeah.
It's like when you get the clock radios or something that turns on and it's like, wait a second, it's not plugged in. What the hell?
Mm-hmm.
And there is such a thing with things like that where there may be a little bit of a charge left. And if you flip it on, even though it's unplugged, it'll come on for like a half a second.
Sure.
Then it dies, though. That stuff doesn't hold that much of a charge or a light to turn on for that long. Creepy story. Thank you for sharing that with us here on the program. New year, a lot of people thinking about resolutions, things they want to do, things they want to change. How about eating better? That would be a good thing for, I think, everyone. A good way to start with that would be with the folks at Blue Apron. We've been using them for years, and in fact, way before they were even a supporter of our show. They have two-person meal plans, family meal plans. They even have a wine plan as well. So, I mean, there's something there for everybody. Well, I'll say right now, for 8 weeks, Blue Apron, they're teaming up with Whole30 to bring you delicious recipes. Menu featuring two Whole30 approved recipes each week, like Mexican spice barramundi, it's a great fish, with avocado, teriyaki chicken lettuce cups with avocado, and kale and sweet potato salad. Kickstart your new year with Blue Apron and Whole30. You get the recipes for you on these really great recipe cards, show you step by step every single week, or however often you want the meals delivered, how to prepare the meals step by step. If you're not a cook, if you're someone who even says, I'm not that good at cooking, you can become very good at it with this. It makes it so, so simple. And it's so easy. And the variety of stuff that you can get through Blue Apron, you're going to be blown away. You can check it out for yourself on their website. Let's talk about some of the stuff that's coming up here in January. Top Chef ginger marinated steaks, stir-fried vegetables, and jasmine rice. Sounds delicious.
It does.
Seared chicken and mashed potatoes with maple glazed carrots. See, I'm not a big fan of cooked carrots, but I've actually enjoyed the ones I've gotten through Blue Apron and the way I've cooked them, because it adds flavor like that, mm-hmm, like maple glaze and stuff like that.
Right.
Roasted red pepper, pasta with lemon parmesan broccoli, you name it. They have so many great, great choices. Here's a good one. Roast pork and broccoli with apple cheese sauce and garlic breadcrumbs. It's good stuff every single week. Check it out for yourself, and check out all the great recipes at blueapron.com. And we got a little extra thing for you too. In fact, Blue Apron, they're treating you guys, the Real Ghost Stories online listeners, to your first dinner, a $30 value, if you visit blueapron.com/ghost. blueapron.com/ghost. Check it out. Check out this week's menu. Get $30 off with free shipping at blueapron.com/ghost. You're going to love it. It's a great way to get into the new year. Something to try out. You're going to thank me for that. blueapron.com/ghost. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, guys. My name is Micaela. I'm from California. I'm calling to try to fit in my whole story and let you guys know my paranormal experience at my aunt's house, which also started my belief in feng shui and how if you have an especially energized house and you arrange your furniture a certain way, it can actually open up doors to the spirit world, hell, whatever have you. So basically, when the market crashed, we were forced to move in with my aunt. We're a family of six, me, my sister, my two brothers, and my parents. And we moved into my aunt's two-bedroom house with my aunt and my cousin. So they were confined to one room. My parents turned the garage into, like, a room, and then we slept, all four of us, in a room together. We had two sets of bunk beds. And when you walked down the hallway, the room was to the right, and the door opened to the right. So when you immediately walked in, the wall that you faced had a bunk bed, and then to the left, it also had a bunk bed. So it all started when I woke up in the middle of the night, and my mom was in our room praying. She was on the phone with her friend, and the next day, she told me that she had been sitting in the living room and a shadow person or a shadow of a man walked past the television. And then after that, more things started to happen. but they only happened when my bunk bed was the one facing to the left. So when you first walk in, you would see my brother's bunk bed, and then to the left, it would be my bunk bed. So I would be sitting at my desk that was next to my brother's bunk bed, and I would look over, and I would see and hear the mattress squeak and, like, indent as if somebody sat on it. And if I would look away and look back, it would be back to normal, and it would happen a few times. Another time I had woke up in the middle of the night to use the restroom, and I was walking in the, back to the room, I heard somebody whisper in my left ear, like really loud, like as if somebody else was in the hallway with me, somebody would have heard it. So, after that, I would say the biggest thing happened where I was alone in the room. But the hallway light was on and I had the door opened. My cousin was home in the kitchen washing dishes, but other than that, she was the only one home. So I was trying to go to sleep and, let me back up. Before that, I had an experience where I was taking a nap and I felt as if somebody punched through me and I felt the indentation in my bed on the top bunk. So fast forward to the story I was telling, I was asleep. I'm trying to sleep in my bed, and I heard something fall, and I just said, whatever, maybe something fell off my bunk bed. So I couldn't sleep. I ended up getting up to go get a glass of water, and when I came back in the room, I turned the light on, and I saw that my yoga mat had fallen right in front of my ladder. Mind you, the yoga mat had been stuffed and tucked away in between my brother's bunk bed and the dresser, so there was no way that it flew across the room. So I just picked it up, I threw it on my bed, and I got back on my top bunk and tried to go back to sleep. And then all of a sudden, I heard growling from underneath the bed. And we had a dog at the time, but he was a puppy and he was asleep. He would not have made a sound that audible. The neighbors didn't have dogs or anything. It was just a loud growling sound, and I freaked out, bled down the ladder and told my cousin, and she came in the room and she looked and there was nothing, and she actually pushed me in the room, turned off the light and locked me in and held the door closed, and I was just freaking out, screaming and crying, and that's about it. After that, there might have been other instances that I don't remember, but that was pretty much the height of it all. Thanks for hearing me out. Let me know what you guys think. I'd love it if you use my story. Big fan. Been listening for a few weeks now, and just catching up with all the podcasts. Thanks so much. Bye.
It's probably pretty safe to say if you're having growling in your house and it's not from your pet,
yeah,
it's probably not necessarily going to be a good thing.
No, and I kind of wonder if it's just the energy of the stress of the parents going through this hard time.
Because,
I mean, the kids are affected too.
Sure.
But not constantly thinking about it the way parents are.
Yeah.
When you know, lose your home, you have to move in with other family and everything. I wonder if that kind of played into the negativity, just kind of, you know, gathering or awakening something that's already there.
And that's pretty common where we hear about, you know, something stressful going on that then suddenly kind of, you know, paranormal activity ensues.
Mm-hmm.
And then when things kind of calm down, it calms down as well. It is somewhat common with the stories that we hear. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brewskis. This is Beverly from Northern Illinois. Big fan of your show. I have been an EPP for a few weeks now, and it's been tons of fun listening to everybody's stories. I had written in maybe 3 weeks ago this story, but I thought it'd be better if I had told it. So I was maybe about 8 or 9 years old, and at the time my best friend was 2 years older than me. They were family friends that we spent a lot of time with. So I was at her house for the day. Both of her parents were out at work, so we were home alone, and she lived in this cute little ranch styled house where her bedroom was in the basement. The basement was only halfway done, so the stairs were wood and everything else was concrete besides, like, her bedroom and then her stepbrother's bedroom at the end of the hallway. So needless to say, besides the room, it was really creepy. So her and I were in her bedroom. We had the door cracked open and we were playing with our dolls. It was something we did all the time, nothing out of the usual. And we had heard the front door upstairs open. Now, she had 6 dogs at the time, and each and every one of those dogs started barking. And we thought, oh, maybe it's just her stepdad getting home from work, because it sounded like it was really heavy boots walking across their wood floors. So we screamed up, hi, Jeff. We're downstairs if you need us. And we continued to play with our dolls. Well, the boots made their way across the floor really slowly. The dogs still barking, kind of freaking out. And they made their way down her wooden stairs to her basement. So we thought, oh, maybe Jeff's just coming by to come say hi to us since he got home from work. And so her and I looked out her bedroom door, and a tall man in like a trench coat walked by, and her and I were petrified. We hadn't recognized who he was. It definitely was not her stepdad. And at first we thought, oh my God, there's an intruder in the house. So we had gotten up to look down the hallway, and we caught him disappearing through the end of the hallway in the wall. Needless to say, her and I'm 8 years old, she's 10 years old, we're absolutely petrified. And so we slammed the door to her room, locked it, turned the lights off, and hid underneath her blankets and sobbed until her mother got home from work and came downstairs and was looking for us. We had told her the story. Of course, her mom didn't believe us, just thought we were making stories because we were 2 young girls, blah, blah, blah. Recently, I had connected with this friend from when I was little, and she had told me that after we had fallen apart as friends, she continued to have odd things happening in her house. When she was older, her fiancé had moved in with her, and he had episodes of sleepwalking into her bedroom, which had been completely empty, and he'd sway back and forth and stare into the nothingness, and she'd have to bring him back to the other room at the end of the hallway. It was always just a really creepy atmosphere down there. Little history about the house. They had bought it at an auction because it was foreclosed for many, many years. I remember her mentioning that there had been potential gang activity in that house where they would use it as just like a hideout or just places for them to do drugs in. And I remember when they bought the house, there was graffiti everywhere. I mean, the house looks beautiful now, but yeah, it was pretty creepy seeing that old guy. We really don't know if it was a man who had lived in the house before, but it looms over us every single day. We would once in a while reconnect and be like, hey, do you remember when that happened? And yeah, we were both thinking about it, and I thought I would share this recording. So thanks for all you do. You guys definitely help me stay entertained at work. People make fun of me, saying, ooh, Beb's listening to her ghost stories today. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
So it sounds like it could have been a shadow man, except that she made it sound like they could tell that it was somebody they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
So that almost alludes to being able to see facial features.
Sure. It's hard. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, either way, it's creepy and not good.
Yeah, I mean, I could see, you know, even in an outline, even in a shadow figure, sometimes you just kind of get the vibe of a certain person.
Mm-hmm.
And if that outline fits the vibe you're getting of that person being around, it's just kind of, oh, it's that person. It's just their shadow, you know.
Right.
And kind of connecting those dots, it's hard to know.
Yeah.
But, well, are we getting more shadow people stories these days? Are there more, are people recognizing shadow people more than they used to, because it's kind of become more of a mainstream term in the last couple of years? Like, I'm not saying there's an increase in activity. I'm just saying, is it like being recognized?
I think maybe so, because I think people would just say, I just saw shadows.
Yeah, and then they're done with it. Now it's like, wait a second. They're kind of getting a little more descriptive in their findings. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Yvette from Corona, California. This is a secondhand story from relatives in Mexico. And there was an uncle who had a drinking buddy neighbor who they would always hang out. And so the wife got very sick and tired of him just, you know, spending all the extra money that he would get from working, buying alcohol and partying with his neighbor. And so the wife and her brother or cousin, I'm not sure about the details, they had an extra bedroom, and they decided to lock him in there to kind of have him dry out or kind of detox him. But at that point, I mean, they didn't know that it's dangerous to have alcoholics detox, because they can go into heavy withdrawals and even have a heart attack and die. So they did that for a whole weekend or something like that. And he was asking him to let him out, and, you know, he tried to climb out of the window and he didn't. And then at about 3 a.m, they had just stopped hearing him, and they just figured he was exhausted at that point, and they kind of fell asleep for a little bit and had their guard down. And at the same time, the next door neighbor heard his friend coming to knock at his door, and he was saying, "Hey, you know, I just wanted to see if you had like a beer for me, because it's been rough over there. They had me locked up." And he said, "Oh, are you okay?" He said, "No, I just need a drink, man." And so he gave him, instead of having him sit there and keep drinking with him like they usually did, he just took the beer and he said, "All right, thank you, man. You're a good guy," and just kind of thanked him and said, "Okay, I love you, man. Thanks for the beer." And so he went back to sleep, and he just figured he would see him tomorrow. But the next day, when the wife went to go let him out and see if he wanted breakfast, her husband was already dead, and they figured he had died around that time. And then the friend went over the next day and said, "Hey, is he okay? You know, he came to my house at like 3 a.m. What did you guys do to him?" "He just, you know, he said he just wanted a beer." And then he noticed everybody was crying, and they said, "How did he go to your house at 3 a.m. when he, kind of around the time we guess he passed away, because he stopped trying to get out of the room, and he was very silent for the rest of the night." And so everybody just thinks that was him saying bye to his drinking buddy or something. But I mean, like I said, secondhand story. I wasn't there. I don't know if that's really possible, but I mean, the beer was gone. He had the beer with him when he left, and there was no sign of him breaking out of the window or any empty bottle of beer next to him when he died. I mean, they think he just had a heart attack or his body just went into shock. But, well, that's my story. I just recently found you guys' podcast, and you guys are awesome. So thank you.
It's a common story, not necessarily with the beer, but just when someone passes, that they make a final visit to those that were close with them.
And sometimes they don't even know they're dead.
Yeah.
But then sometimes it's more of a goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
This almost sounds like he didn't know he was gone.
He just suddenly kind of woke up and was on the other side of the wall and was out, and then realized, oh, hey, and then maybe connected those dots a little bit after having the encounter here with the friend.
Right.
Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like our program, please consider supporting it on our website. Become an EPP extra podcast person is what we call it. You get yourself bonus episodes of the show every single week. We put a brand new episode out with some of our best stories that we get in on it. And you get access to all of the previous EPP episodes as well. Just go to ghostpodcast.com and sign up there. You can sign up directly through the website and get it through the website or through Patreon as well. So one of the two ways to become an EPP. There's even upgrades to that as well. It starts at $5 a month, but there's even more ways to support the show and some extra perks if you want to give more than that. So check it all out at ghostpodcast.com. Hi, you are on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Tim in Ohio. I called about 3 years ago with my story of working in a haunted pool hall, which you guys used. I don't know if that rings any bells. It was a long time ago, and you get a lot of stories, but I saw it still on your site, so I'm going to go back and check it out. It's still there. 'Tis the season, so I thought I'd call and share another one of my stories with you. Not that I had that many more, thank God, but I did have something happen to me when I was a kid. We had a new house. It's happened when I was 10 years old, so it's not like the house was haunted or anything. It was brand new. It was just me, my parents, and my grandparents were up visiting from Florida. And I woke up in the middle of the night, and I looked out my bedroom door, which was open, that looked out into the living room, and I had a clear view of our couch. And sitting on the couch is what I can best describe as a shadow person, except the opposite. You know, I hear people talking about a solid black mass in the shape of a person. It was that, except it was white. It was glowing white, not black. And you could clearly see the outline of a person, and it was sitting on the couch with apparently its hands folded in its lap, and its head bowed down, and it was just sitting there. And I just stared at it, frozen in fear, obviously. You know, I'm a little kid, and I'm seeing this in my house in the middle of the night. Didn't know what to make of it. I don't know how much time passed, but I sat there just frozen staring at it. It didn't move. I didn't move. And then after a while, our neighbor's dog, that was a husky, and it would howl in the middle of the night, it started howling. As soon as this dog howled, this thing on the couch looked up, stood up, took one step forward, and disappeared. Just like that. Gone. I stayed in my bed because I didn't want to run to my parents' room because I had to run past that couch to get there. You know, so I just laid in bed, still petrified the rest of the night, eventually falling back asleep. Of course, my parents didn't believe me. My mom, to this day, she believes me now because I've just never changed my stories all these years. But she believes me. But I think it was about a month, maybe 2 months after that, my grandfather, who was visiting at the time, passed away. So I don't know, you know, what this thing was. It wasn't like I had a lot of experiences before and after. I don't know if this was an angel watching over him because he was going to be passing soon. I don't know if this was just something wandering around the neighborhood and it decided my couch looked pretty comfy. I have no idea. But it definitely happened. It's a true story. No doubt about it. I wasn't dreaming. It wasn't a hallucination. I didn't make it up for attention. Clear as day, a white figure, outline of a person, sitting on my couch, heard the dog howl, got up, took a step, disappeared. Boom. Have a good one. Happy Halloween.
If you don't like animals or pets or things like that in life or have a fear of them, would you still have it in death?
If I didn't like them in life, I probably am not going to mess with it in death.
I mean, normally, if you don't like a certain animal, it's usually a lot of times because of a fear or a tragic, you know, situation. Like you got bit by a dog and then you may be like, I'm kind of skittish around the, or something like that.
Right.
So, but if you're a ghost and you know you're a ghost and you know that that dog can't harm you anymore, could that change? Could you start to kind of like, oh, I like being around them now because I know that I'm safe, you know?
Maybe if the dog is for sure never going to bite or growl or anything like that.
Yeah, maybe just the growling is enough to scare you, even though you know you can't get bit.
Yeah, I mean, a growling dog, I don't think is something that's going to go away, your fear of that, even in death, because, you know, that's kind of an instinct thing.
It's just there.
Yeah.
And will always be there. Do you think the ghost scared the dog or the ghost just got up because he got sick of the dog?
I don't know.
It's hard to know.
It is hard to know. I would think maybe the ghost was more like, they're going to know that I'm here because the dog's making noise. I got to go.
That could be it. It's like a smoke alarm.
Yeah.
You know, or it's like a carbon monoxide detector.
It doesn't sound like it was a real scary type of entity because of it being kind of glowy and white.
Sure.
Usually those aren't the real bad ones.
Just kind of there.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for sharing that. 855-853-4802, our number. Hi.
Hi, my name is Courtney. I'm calling from Kentucky. I am a proud yearly subscription EPP. One quick story for you. My husband and I were on top of our roof hanging Christmas lights. I had never been on the roof before, so I had a great view of everything. I glanced over at the house next door to us and saw a lady, an elderly lady, sitting on her porch swing, and I stared at her for a few moments. She got up and walked across the porch. She was wearing older clothes, looked more to be late 70s, early 80s attire, and had a scarf wrapped around her head like she had just had her hair done and been at the salon. As she made her way across the porch, she completely vanished. So it was a great surprise to me. If I hadn't actually seen her vanish with my eyes, I would have thought she was a real person. At that moment, I immediately told my husband what had just happened, and he told me the story of when he was a child. The lady that lived there was very particular about her hair. She would go to the beauty salon and get it done and wrap her head afterwards to, I guess, to keep her hairdo fresh. And that lady would pay him a quarter to go to the end of her driveway and retrieve her daily paper for her. And he knew her quite well and was a lovely lady. So I saw her, and it was a great experience, really, really odd. I have other stories, and I will call back soon with those. Thank you all for your show.
I don't think I'd want to see a ghost when I'm up on the roof for the first time, because I am prone to falling. I would fall anyway,
without a ghost, yeah.
But that would be enough to trip me up, literally, and I would fall.
Yeah, that would probably be not a good occurrence.
No.
To have happen when you're up there on the roof is to have that be your first time seeing the ghost. I don't think, I mean, even if it's like your 50th time seeing the ghost,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that that would be a good place no matter what.
Right.
To run into the ghost for the first time. Thank you for calling in and sharing that that story with us. We do greatly appreciate it. That wraps up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for calling in and sharing your stories with us. Do greatly appreciate that. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Sign up on the website at ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up directly through the website. Only $5 a month is all it is. Or you can sign up for an upgraded membership where there's other options there, like getting a bunk bed bell, accessing our shows before everyone else, commercial free, all sorts of options through our website and through Patreon as well. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.